Good morning, and God bless you. Well, here at the chapel in North Liberty, Indiana, better known as Crumbstown, Indiana, because it's on Crumbstown Highway, the first Tuesday of each month, we have a prayer night for the community. And at that time, we lift, of course, the individuals. We lift health, prosperity, especially the businesses, a lot of which operate out of our local homes. We lift families, weather, and things like that. There are a few locals who join us each month, and we just have a great time. For the August prayer night, we focused on a section of scripture from Mark 4, since weather is an issue in Indiana. So we thought this would really be edifying to them. Also, Larry had asked the Amicus Alliance to perpetually keep weather patterns, weather situations around the country, around the world, on their prayer list. This record in Mark 4 really adds dimension to the scope of our prayers, especially when we appear trapped in a sudden flurry of activity and confusion that seems beyond our control. And starting in verse 35, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he," Jesus, "saith unto them," the disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind." And this storm was of a life-threatening nature. It had definitely of life-threatening proportions. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So Jesus rebuked the wind, and it ceased. End of story. He spoke to the sea, and there was a great calm. Again, end of story. So when Jesus rebuked, that was it. When he spoke, that was it. Those were the limits. The mind and heart of Christ, of course, was perfect love. And he was obedient to his Father's will, ultimately even to the salvation for mankind. He led captivity captive. In all that he said and did, he displayed the very nature, the very heart of God. He aligned his will with the will of God on every topic. I think of Philippians 2:5 that talks about, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:2 exhorts us to set our affections, set our thoughts on things above and not on things of the world. Well, certainly the exercising of his power and authority over that storm, it not only saved him and those in his little boat, but also those in the other little ships. Remember, there were other little ships that were with his ship. They were all going across to the other side. And all the collective doubts and fears of others did not defeat his rebuke or his voice to speak. It did not hurt his power and authority, even an iota. And the blessing was for all. And you know, really, when we properly exercise our power and authority, in this case we're talking about weather, we aren't going to command that the storm just miss our house. We're going to command that the evil stop. You know, Jesus wasn't grabbing oars and a bailer to get the water out. He wasn't praying for the lives of the people on his ship, the lives of anybody. He rebuked the storm. He rebuked the evil. He didn't say anything about saving the boat or, you know, he just rebuked the cause. He spoke to the problem. So really, while the boat was flooded with water, he was flooded with peace. He was flooded with peace that that everything would be as he spoke it. And when we do that, everybody is blessed. Everybody around us is blessed because of our trust in God and because of our belief in the power of Christ in us as we walk out and exercise our power of authority. Let's turn to Luke 10. Larry has certainly covered this verse many times in previous teachings, but I tell you, I think to read this once a day and really get it in our hearts that it is actually true, that it is actually a dependable fact in our lives is worth doing. So in Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus told them, "Behold, I give unto you power," and that power is exousia. He gave them authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power, dunamis, that's the potential power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So the record in Mark 4, Christ is rebuking a storm in a literal sense. Well, the power and authority that we have in Christ extends to us rebuking the situations in life that stir, that just wait for that moment to come where it can take us by storm. And that list of situations is long. I know that we have all had situations just seem like they leap up on us. But yet the Word tells us the only thing that's supposed to overtake us in life are the blessings of God. Talks about that in Deuteronomy. So, you know, the enemy is not going to send you a text message. He is not going to send you an email. He is not going to send you a postcard reminder that says something like, "Well, next Tuesday at approximately 3:00, I'm going to be waiting and I'm going to jump you with this horrible catastrophe." He doesn't do that. So in the downtime when life is lulling along at a wonderful blessing pace, that's when we need to be rebuilding. That's when we need to be thinking about how we exercise our power and authority so that in that storm, when it seems to take us, the waves aren't tossing us around, but like Christ, we are flooded with peace to speak because we are on legal ground. We are on legal ground, and the Word exhorts us to exercise our authority over all the potential power of the enemy. The enemy does have a lot of potential power, that is for sure. But we have the legal authority from the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who is our Heavenly Father, to exercise over his evil works. His evil has already been defeated. So it's not a battle with the enemy. We are not on a battlefield. We are not at a bargaining table to bargain with him. And we are not going to play hide and seek. It's not a game either. We are victorious in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. That's who we are. You know, God doesn't question. It says he doesn't test us. He doesn't tempt us. God doesn't question our exercising our authority. Christ certainly doesn't. Who does? Who does question our authority day after day after day upon every occasion? The devil, the enemy, the adversary, Satan, however he works that out. He is the only one that questions and challenges our authority. And I love to think of children or children growing up. I mean, we're growing up with our Heavenly Father, so let's think about children. If you were the child of, say, a billionaire, your perspective about life would be so much different than mine, because I'm not the child of a human child of a human parent who was a billionaire. So for that child who is the child of a billionaire, he would not even know what I was doing if he watched me go in my kitchen and cook, because he's not used to seeing his mother go in and cook. Somebody brings the food out to a spread at a dining table. His mother doesn't drive him anywhere. She may be come along, but there's a driver. He doesn't see his mother. That child doesn't see his mother doing laundry, folding clothes, cleaning. No, those are all things that maybe he doesn't even see. Maybe people are just working in the background to take care of everything. Well, even better than that scenario, if you can even imagine not ever having to do laundry again, not ever having to cook again, not ever having to drive yourself anywhere, I don't know, that could get boring. But we are children of God. We are children of God. So that is the perspective that we want. That perspective trumps every other perspective you could possibly have in the entire world. We can determine, as Jesus did, that we will align our will with God's will. He said, Jesus said, not my will am I going to do, but I'm going to do those things which please my Father. Every parent is pleased when their children are happy. Every parent is pleased when their children are healthy. Every parent is pleased when their children grow up and have wonderful families and prosper. Well, we're talking about the Heavenly Father here, who is perfect in all of his delight, is perfect in all of his well-wishing for his children. So what is God's will? Determine today that you will place your will subject to his will concerning your health. Determine today that you will place your will subject to his will concerning prosperity. In your secular work, determine that you will place your will subject to his will concerning your labor. You know, if you think you work for a man, you may perform duties according to a job description. You receive a payment for that work. But regardless of your job's authority or lack thereof, we are to work heartily as unto the Lord. That's where we have a paycheck for all eternity. Now we're talking eternal retirement. So we want to master God's love in our heart to the end that we make laws unto ourselves. We get to determine what we will believe. We make laws. I am going to exercise my power and authority in Christ. I am going to trust in God's love and care. I will not be talked out of it. I will not be challenged by it. And if I go out and say to this storm today, I rebuke you, and it keeps coming, you know what I'm going to do the next time a storm comes? I'm going to try it again. I'm just going to keep working at it. Because I can exercise control over myself. And the more I exercise control over myself and my thoughts, the less I'm flooded by doubts and fears. The more effectual I become in those things that I rebuke and those things that I command. God's will is so pure for us. And it's out of His perfect nature of love. And that's the measure to which we should enjoy life. We should expect to live like those loved by God. It doesn't just happen because God wants it to. We know that from just human families. We must hear it. We must listen. We must know it. And we must believe it. And we must do it. So we sang the song before we began the recording today, Standing on the Promises. And so when those howling storms of doubt and fear assail, it's by the living word that we will prevail. And of course, His living word is the word we live. That's what makes it so. It's the word we live. And honestly, I really do sincerely, with all of my heart, invite you. If you are rebuking, if you are commanding, if you are really endeavoring to apply what the Word of God teaches, if you're listening week by week to the teachings and you endeavor to walk out on it and it doesn't appear to work the way that maybe Larry or I or whoever's teaching describes, please call us, because we will be thrilled. It is our pleasure to help you walk through the growth steps that we have walked through to even get the results that we're enjoying at this time in our life. So we are so happy to help. You know, these disciples with Jesus saw firsthand. They were with Jesus. They saw firsthand. Yet even they became disheartened when that squall took those professional fishermen. They were used to handling boats and storms. They weren't just, you know, let's go rent a boat for an hour and go over to the other side. I mean, these men, they live by the sea. Oh, my gosh. This storm took professional fishermen by surprise. And they did become disheartened. And they did the right thing. They woke up the Lord and they said, look at this, we're going to perish, help us. And you know what? He did. God is going to work that way with us, just as Jesus worked that way with His disciples. And then even later, they were unable to relate that learning to feeding the 5,000. Oh, well, that was weather. Now we're talking about food. You know, power and authority. It's an umbrella that goes over everything that we might need to do. So no matter the need, God has already supplied it in Christ. And we do well to prepare our minds and hearts to cleave to His promise and His will, so our hearts can take on the surprise storms in life. And, you know, just as the apostles grew and matured to bring the Word of God to pass, so can we. And we do it by just taking one step at a time. We hear scriptures. We listen to them. We think about them. We thank God for helping us link them to other scriptures. We walk out on them to the best of our ability at that time, and we see the results that we see. And then we start applying it all over again. And our understanding, it just mushrooms. It grows exponentially. And the blessings are so many. They're always, of course, first to us, and then they certainly overflow to our families, to those we have relationships with, and our jobs, Why do so many people love to hire Christian believers? Because they're positive. And we certainly are looking to add on to that because we're powerful. Because we can rebuke the things that happen to try to take a job site by storm. Parents in a home can operate their power and authority in keeping the adversary out of situations, family situations in life. So we can certainly live and prevail and take our rightful and legal position as those wonderful, well-loved, well-cared-for children of the Most High God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you.